Welcome to Caffeine, Crime and Canines, a podcast brought to you by two girls who love their dogs, love coffee, but most importantly, love true crime. Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We never record at this time.
I know. It's thrown me off, but I sort of like it. Something
different. Yeah. We only just got back like a few hours ago.
Oh my gosh, how was it? Tell me everything.
It was actually really good. It was so good. And Elsie was good on the plane up, but crap on the plane home.
Oh.
Like she was just tired and had enough and yeah.
Oh gosh. Well, you know what? You probably prefer that because otherwise you would have been thinking about the plane ride home the whole time you were there.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And we got no rain. So that was great.
Good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Had a ball. And did you stay at like a resort or?
Yeah, we stayed at the Pullman.
Oh, nice.
It's like a resort just outside of Port Douglas. And yeah, it was so nice. And we got a room where the pool, like pool access is right outside your outdoor area. So like we could just go in and out all day, which is perfect for Elsie because she just wants to eat and then get back in and then get back out and then get back in.
Oh, that's so good. So she loves the water.
Yeah, she was loving it.
That's so cute.
Yeah. What have you been up to this weekend?
This weekend I had a first birthday today. So yep. At a park. It was stinking hot, but it was actually – I don't mind the heat. You know, I like sort of like it. So it didn't really bother me. But, yeah, it was quite nice actually. Actually, my friend had such a great setup. She had hired like a lady to do sort of like a grazing sort of table.
Yes, I love that. Yeah.
And she also had for the kids like an actual, I don't even know how to explain it, like a thing set up with pillows, like a table with like pillows, like a picnic, if that makes sense. It was so cute. I thought, yeah. And the playground was massive. So I think for kids it would have been so fun. Like there's a flying fox and little trampolines and yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh, that's so good.
But yeah, so I had that today. I got back obviously from Gold Coast on Wednesday.
Yeah.
The rest of my stay was good after making last week.
Yes, update us on the place. Did you complain?
I did. Yeah, I did. I complained and they moved and they changed like our room. And thank God I did. Like honestly, the room that they swapped us to was so much better. It was clean. The windows were clean, although Lockie, the funniest thing, right? So obviously I complained and one of the biggest things I was like fuming about those windows, right? And they came, because I said to her originally, I was like, either give us our money back because we want to go somewhere else. I'm happy to pay for the night we've stayed, but we're not staying again, right? And they offered, they're like, oh, you know what? We've got another room in the same hotel. So I was staying at the Oracle, which is quite a nice hotel. It's the Peppers on Broad Beach. And I was like, you know what? The actual place is beautiful. The location is perfect. It's just my room I wasn't happy with. I'm like, all right, if you show me this room, then I'll, like, I want to see it before I say, yeah, I'll take another room. You know what I mean? So they took us up and can I tell you, the cleaners were coming out so freaking awkward because I must have had someone go in and clean it and the windows were wet. So I reckon they were just as filthy.
Oh, well.
I had someone feel like that. Cleaning them. At the same time, we paid for the freaking ocean view and you can't even look out the window. Like, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was quite lucky with that they moved like rooms, but it was a bit of like a stuff around the Saturday, Sunday. So I was a little bit disappointed in that, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday was really good, so.
Yeah.
And yes, that's it.
So while I was up there in Port Douglas, I kept seeing like these billboards everywhere and it was like a picture of a girl's face and it said like, Toya, we will never give up, call Crime Stoppers. And I was like, what is this, right?
Ooh, yeah.
So, and then I Googled it today because I just couldn't shake it. And I'm definitely going to add this to our list of cases to do, but it's, so they're obviously old billboards because the case has been closed now. But she was like a young girl and she went missing and then her body was found dead on a beach and then some guy who was like an Indian national was arrested in India for like killing her and it was just like a horrible way to go. Like it wasn't just like he just decided to strangle her or whatever. Like he really like tortured the shit out of her. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I've never heard of it before. So like, Yeah, we'll have to add it to the list. But like,
yes, please funny. Do.
Sings Billboard everywhere, and I've never heard of this case before.
Yeah, that's crazy. Mm. I feel like it's not often we see billboards, especially here in Australia. Like,
I know, that's what I thought. That's you know why I couldn't shake it. I was like, why? Like, what is this? What is happening here?
You know, down near Knox, like if you're on Billwood Highway heading towards Knox, because I used to go to the steps like every Saturday, right? So I'd always take Billwood Highway down there. And there, just before the shopping centre, there is a billboard and it does have missing people on there. Like I'm pretty sure it had Bun on there for ages. It's got just heaps of missing people, and that's probably the only place, and I don't know if it still exists there, but that's probably the only place that I've actually seen a billboard regarding missing people. And there are missing people in Australia, so it's just bizarre, or in Victoria. So it's, yeah, bizarre that it's just not a thing.
Yeah, so weird. Mm. So today, before we kind of formally get into it, we're doing a request, and it's a smaller case. So we've just kind of thought, before we get into the case that was requested, we did want to touch on a case that has been floating around in the media this week, from Ballarat, which is obviously not too far from where we are, Karina. There's like a lady missing, and to be completely honest, because I've been away, I don't know the specifics of the case. So I thought, if you want to give us a bit of a rundown as to what's happening with that.
Yes, and can I tell you, because I was away when it happened and I rarely watched any TV while I was away, but I did see a few things like floating around on social media, so it's only the last few days that I have sort of started looking into it, and I'm going to be like straight up, I looked a little bit at like into Reddit and into the Facebook group, but most of my information today is coming from news articles, only because it is such a big hole to like dig down and there is just so much speculation. So I thought, let's just start. We're just going to like touch on it today, especially because it's been on everyone's minds. It is in the news a lot here in Australia. So now Samantha Murphy is a lively 51-year-old mum of three, and she's been missing for about a week. Last Sunday, the 4th of February 2024, Samantha left her home on Eureka Street in Ballarat East at around 7 a.m. on her usual morning run in the Canadian State Forest.
Yep.
She was quite the runner, covering up to 14 to 15 kilometres, sometimes even up to 20 kilometres on her runs. And it's reported that she was both physically and mentally fit and would run, walk almost every day. I also read just in an article this afternoon that she was training for a race. So maybe she had like upped her runs, you know?
Yeah.
But when she didn't come back after a few hours, her family got worried and called police. The temperature was a scorching 36 degrees that day, which added to the concern. So is that like the basic what you know?
Yeah, I mean, I really just know that there's this woman. She went for a run. She hasn't come back. My mum actually said to me, Lockie, have you heard about that woman missing in Ballarat? It's totally the husband. Like my mum just like jumps.
Yeah.
She jumps to conclusions. But that literally is as far as I know.
Well, so
I know
that
people
right, cool.
are speculating the husband already.
Yeah. Yes. And also I just like give a shout out to the quite a few listeners that I've been talking to back and forth this week as well about this case, which I just thought exactly like when we were speaking earlier today, it's like probably the perfect time just to quickly touch on it because there is so much interest in it.
Yeah.
But since her disappearance being reported to police, there's been a massive search effort going on. Police, SES, CFA and locals have been combing through the area using everything from mounted officers and police dogs to drones. They've even reached out to the public for any CCTV or dash cam footage from 7 a.m. onwards that day. But so far, no luck. It's like she's vanished without a trace.
Yeah, disappeared, thin air.
Yeah. So there have been a few false leads this week. I'll just give you some examples, Lockie, because as you said, you're not as familiar with the case. So apparently there were some items found on a walking track, and when these items were found, police set up a crime scene.
Mm-hmm.
but it turned out not to be her items. Then there
was just
was,
random?
Yeah, sorry, I think it was random stuff that did not belong to her, right? Then there's been CCTV footage that was released, and initially it seemed to show Samantha about 15 minutes after she had started her run. And the thing about this footage is I think this was going in the opposite direction, which they originally thought that she was going. So I feel like they thought this was a bit of a clue, but it turned out to be someone else entirely. I think two females came forward and said this could be them, and they were out on a run at that time. And because it's so blurry and from so far away, they've ruled that out.
Okay.
So Samantha Murphy's exact route on the day she disappeared is unknown, since she often changed it up. Her family last saw her, and she was caught on her CCTV camera leaving her house. And she was wearing a maroon singlet, and I've seen it reported brown leggings or black leggings. So Samantha had an Apple Watch on and her phone with her, but police haven't shared any data from them. How See, that's interesting weird. Is that?
And, like, you think a runner, like, would she have Strava or, like, some other type of app where she's tracking her runs?
Yes. Well, so that with regarding the Apple Watch, they have not released any data, and police are really tight-lipped on what data is available. But they have released that her phone last pinged at it's like a golf course, golf course, right? And apparently this is a place she wouldn't usually go. It was about 11 kilometers away from her house. And although Samantha sometimes walked different paths, she usually stuck to the familiar ones and would tell her family if she was going further than 10 kilometers. And I mean, I don't know if I'm right on this, but from my understanding and from the interview I saw, her family said that she wouldn't go to that particular route. Is I'm guessing it's not like a known path. You know what I mean? Like you'd be sort of, it's not an actual pathway. So that's my understanding.
How old are her children?
Well, can I tell you, I did look into this. I could not find how old they were, but her daughter, which I'm going to get into in a sec, actually her eldest daughter, Jess, just recently appealed to the public for any information regarding obviously her mother's disappearance, and she looked quite young. I'd say she was late teens. I mean, potentially early 20s, but I'd say she was late teens. And a lot of the articles talk about how she was very involved in her children's communities and things like that. Makes me think that the children are underage.
Yeah.
And just yesterday, actually it might have been like yesterday morning or Friday night, right, the missing persons squad announced that they'd be taking over the case. And despite all speculation, the police have said they haven't found anything suspicious and aren't suspecting foul play at this stage, but it's still a mystery and they haven't ruled anything out. So it's sort of like, what's going on here, right? So Samantha's husband, who runs a smash repair business with her, has been under a lot of scrutiny. This is obviously what your mum messaged you about. But according to recent statements, he's just as devastated and clueless as anyone else. And something I found interesting is apparently, because remember I was telling you that she was found leaving her house and there's CCTV footage of her leaving her house. Apparently there's no CCTV footage of her husband leaving the house around that time that morning. So I guess it doesn't rule him out completely, but I do want to talk about theories with you in a sec, because there are so many. But, I think that's just an important point to put in there, right? So police also announced yesterday that they'd be scaling back the search efforts, and this is mainly because there have been no new leads. And this is just heartbreaking. Like, I think they're just, like, clueless. Like, where do you go from here if you've got no leads and you've searched, you know what I mean, as much as you can?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, hopefully someone out there knows something and can help bring Samantha home. But that's sort of where it's at the moment. I understand that, like, the community, and there is still a search going, or there was searching this weekend. But, yeah, at the moment it is going to be scaled back.
Interesting.
Yep. All right. So do you want to just quickly run through just a few theories? There's quite a few, yeah. but I'll just like
go for it.
Dot point them, right? So police have come out and they've stated, not to speculate, but I'm just going to run through a few. I guess it's, yeah, it's hard not to talk about, but I'm going to try not to be like too, you know, speculatory. What's that word?
Speculatory.
All right. So obviously the husband is number one on the list. Not on my list, but if you even look on Reddit, on the Facebook groups, anywhere, like you said, if you speak to anyone, they're like, it's the husband, right? Like straight away. And I just want to quote, this is coming from a family friend, right? For those questioning Samantha's husband, you need not worry. He's in more pain than anyone and would be the last person to suspect in any of this, right? So from my understanding, most people are suspecting him because his behavior is sort of has been quite a little bit off. Apparently he's been spotted sort of laughing with police. Even when he, like, you know, like he doesn't seem as distraught. Like if you watch the interviews, he's quite like, I don't know what the word is, just like Samantha's daughter, just she is distraught, right? Whereas he's sort of like, just, I don't even know what word would you describe someone who's just not cold, isn't the right thing, but it's probably like just emotionless. Very like, not yeah, exactly. But can I tell you something, right? My dad is like this. Like, I just feel like even if I was to go missing, my dad's not the type that would be out there crying. Like, I feel like he would freaking hate media attention. He'd try to just be logical. You know what I mean? So even seeing him, like Samantha's husband, talk, like I, for some reason, I don't feel like, and I know, as I said, a few people have messaged me on Insta saying it's the husband. I don't know why I'm not as on board with this theory.
Well, I think, sorry, remember when like little Cleo went missing in WA and the family did their press conferences and everyone was like, oh, it's fake crying. Like they're faking.
Yes.
Like you just cannot win, you know,
you actually can't win.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard to say.
It is really hard to say. And that's just where what I feel right. And I mean, like, I think the police would be all over him either way, because honestly, like you're going to think, like everyone says, usually it's the husband or the people closest to her. So obviously they will be looking into him. They haven't directly ruled him out, but at the same time, they haven't made any public statements saying that they suspect foul play. And I feel like that would be a bit of a mind game. Like if you sort of suspected him, you'd be like, oh, we suspect foul play, but like, you know, we don't know. We don't have any suspects or something along those lines. I don't know. I just, me personally, I'm not so much leaning that way. Also, something as well, like obviously the fact that he hasn't been seen leaving the home and his friends and family have come to his defense, which makes me sort of think that maybe he's got like a solid alibi. Like maybe if his kids weren't old, how do you just not know that he wasn't home with his freaking kids? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. So that's, I mean, at the moment that, like, you'll probably see that online a lot. I haven't really deep dug into this, but, yeah, that's just my feeling from looking at it sort of from afar. One other thing is that a local did it, like, because apparently there's, like, heaps of bikie gangs in that area.
Ballarat is a big bikie town.
Yes. So, I mean, that's something I saw a few comments online regarding, because you know how they had that smash repair business? Like, did she come across something dodgy? Like, sort of crossed my mind.
But, like, why her? And, like, why would you kill her? You know, that doesn't make sense.
I know. Next on the list is a tragic accident. So, like, apparently there are heaps of mine shafts around there and it's dense bushland. So whether, you know, she's been bitten by something or sort of, like, gotten into a bit of trouble and it's just, you know, she hasn't been able to, obviously they haven't found her or, you know, she's hidden. I mean, for me, that is a very big possibility. That it's just
like she could have legit fallen down a mine shaft, and that's why they haven't been able to find her.
Yes,
like there are obviously a lot of old mine shafts in Ballarat from the golden, the gold rush or whatever you call it. And like yeah. part of my work, sometimes when we are looking at doing jobs in specific areas, especially Ballarat, we do have to get the old maps of all the old Minecrafts. And there is
really
thousands. There is so many.
Wow.
So like you just, you never know. Like that is
so
is
interesting
probably
looking.
Where I lean towards. Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder if I should get the maps and have a look.
I mean, yeah, you totally should. That's for some reason, that's something that, like, I mean, logically, that's probably where I'm sort of leaning towards. There is like a theory as well that maybe she did get lost in the forest because apparently she dealt with low blood pressure, which combined with hot weather.
Yeah.
Which, remember, it was so hot that day, that may have affected her. And some suggest that maybe she ran out of water while jogging, causing her to become disorientated and then got lost. And that's, I guess that's why there was such a huge search early on, like thinking that maybe she was just wandering in the park or waiting to be rescued somewhere. But unfortunately, as I said, we've hit a week now and there's just no sign of her.
Yeah. And she had a phone with her.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So. You'd think she'd call for help.
Mm.
Another thing, which I quickly just want to touch on, is maybe like a brutal attack from a stranger. And this is probably the other sort of theory that I am leaning a little bit towards. So apparently there was a girl named Sissy. I don't know if you remember this. Last year she was violently attacked while running near Ballarat. And if you see, like, she survived, but there's a photo of her and she has been, oh my, like, I can't explain to you, her face is completely bloody. Like, I don't even know what the heck, why this happened to her. But, yeah, she was attacked while running out near Ballarat. So I guess this sort of shows that this stuff does happen. Also, an article got released, I think it was yesterday or this morning, right? And apparently a couple had been camping, right, in Ballarat looking for gold in that area the weekend that Samantha disappeared. And they have reported that they encountered some, quote, some weird guy in the bush. And the man's pants, Lockie, were torn around his crotch and he was wearing dirty white underwear. Wait a sec. And apparently, right, so you could see his underwear, they were exposed. And apparently he was like muttering to himself. So they got a bit freaked out, this couple. They packed up and they moved. Anyway, that was the first time this room. The second time, this is in the lady's words, right? The second time he came out from the bush, he took out his hands from his pockets and put both his wrists behind his back and started walking towards me, she said. As soon as he saw my partner, he quickly shifted his direction and started walking back to the bush. So they packed up their shit and they moved again. And looking, oh, I don't know why this reminds me of, you know who?
Yeah, Button Man.
Yeah, Button Man.
Well, I mean, could she have fought him off? Like, how old was this guy?
I don't know. The thing is, there is no disturbance. Like, they haven't come across, like, some sort, like, you know, her head, like, you know, a lot of the other cases we've covered, they found headphones or a phone or, you know, just, like, bits and pieces. They haven't found nothing of hers. She's literally just disappeared. She couldn't have just disappeared into thin air. She has to be somewhere, right?
I mean, like, this is also very similar. Like, remember early or midway through last year, there was that girl in the UK, similar situation. She was out walking the dog or something and she disappeared. Do you remember that one?
In the river?
Yeah. What actually happened to her?
Can I tell you?
Similar. They said she disappeared without a trace.
Yes, but no, but do you remember they found her in that lake?
Oh, did they?
Right? Yes. And you know what's crazy? I haven't looked back into it. It's something that I've wanted to look into, so maybe we should cover it. Because I think that – I don't know if people are saying, like, the police ruled it, like, accidental or something along those lines.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Do you remember? But Laura Richards is still talking about this case. And, like, you know, I respect her so much. I just have not listened to the episodes that she has put out regarding this. But it's something that, yeah, I want to look into. So that's quite interesting. But, yeah, that's true. They did find her, but they found her, I think, in the lake. And this was ages later. I think after they'd searched the lake. I'm going off memory. So very odd.
Yeah, so Could be. I don't know.
The other three theories that are out there, I don't think are as likely. It's just hit and run. Apparently, like, where you jog, it is like along a country road. So, you know, it raises fears that there was a possible like, traffic accident. And then a mental health episode, but there is literally no evidence at all to support this. And please, can I tell you, what do you think? This just frustrates me. Other people are saying she ran away to start a new life.
New life, yeah.
I can't even respond to that. But,
Can I just say as well, like, my mum, she's like the hype girl for all of these missing people. Like, she gets right on board. She looks into everything. She has her opinion from the start. Like, she, you know, it really, you know, she's about it, right? I'm just talking to her, like, been talking to her today about it. And she said in a message, and this is, like, I don't know where my mum got this information from, and I can't say whether it's true or not, but I guess it just proves what type of information floats, you know, out in the media, right?
The internet.
My mum has said, because she says, I'm on all the gossip forums. Apparently her and the husband were separated but still living in the same roof, and he has lawyered up. That's what mum said. That's just another, you know, bit of gossip there. But,
That would be interesting. As I said to you, I have not searched the gossip forums only because I didn't want to get a little bit distracting because we're not full covering it.
No.
It's more something I want to talk to you about. I mean, I'm sure there will be developments, and either way, like, police would be looking, you know, into the 100%. Husband, the first person they're going to look into. So, that's Samantha's story. And I mean, if anyone out there does have any information, I would suggest like calling Crime Stoppers. I'll just give you the number. It's 1-800-333-0000.
Wow. So we'll obviously update everyone as it progresses, and you know, if it's worth covering it, if it turns into a huge thing, we obviously will. But that's just a little update for everyone as to what's happening with Samantha Murphy. But we might now get into this week's case that was a request from a listener, if you are ready to go, Karina.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so this case was requested by Ali, and I am sorry, Ali, it was requested so long ago, but we are slowly moving through all of our requests, and this was a really good episode to jump from the Samantha Murphy, because this is also from Ballarat. So this week we are talking about Tracy Howard. So Tracy Howard was 23 years old, and she was living in the Ballarat suburb of Brown Hill, and she lived with her boyfriend. His name was Shane. They'd been together for 5 years. This guy was listed as her de facto husband, which is obviously de facto partners is when you share assets. Like,
yeah,
you know, like you and Tony would be de factos type of thing. Like, yeah, you know, just before you're married, when you're, you know, living together and doing everything.
Usually I just say de facto, not de facto husband. That's what I was like, what the heck's going on?
Yeah, that's what I thought was weird. But they, you know, they were obviously in a happy relationship. They had planned to get married and have kids one day. And like I said, they've been together for 5 years. She lived with him in Brown Hill. Tracy owned the home that she lived in because she bought this house after her and a few friends from work won the Tats Lotto.
How cool is that?
It's so cool.
Oh, my God.
And good on her for buying a house.
This happens. Yeah.
Yeah. So Tracy was described as a vivacious young woman that always thought of others before herself. She was often described as the life of the party, and people naturally gravitated towards her both at school and work. She's obviously quite young, so she obviously just came out of school. So Tracy worked at the Mars Chocolate Factory in Ballarat. She mixed well with both the executives and the workers of the factory. Did you know Ballarat had a chocolate factory, Karina?
I had no freaking idea.
So I actually lived in Ballarat for most of my childhood. So I'm very familiar with all the areas. And I just wanted to throw in this funny story. So when I went to school in Ballarat, I used to have this friend and her name was Celeste. And her dad was the general manager of the Mars Chocolate Factory, right? So, like, big boss. But her mom was a dentist. And I always used to think it was so funny.
What a combo.
Yes. Like, isn't that so funny?
It's like dad's getting the mum clients.
I'll never forget it. I just, even as a kid, I was like, that is just hilarious. Anyway, fun fact thrown in there. Yeah. Tracy also had a lot of close friendships with members of local bikey groups. Like we actually mentioned earlier in the episode, there's a huge bikey presence in Ballarat. And I couldn't find any information as to how she knew these people, whether they worked at the factory with her. I'm not sure how she knew them, but it was said in multiple articles that she had close friendships with people in these groups.
Hey, do you find it sus that they mentioned this? Like, why mention it if it's
a little bit?
It's a weird fact to put in articles, I find.
Yeah. I mean, it's like saying was friends with policemen. Like, you know, like it's a weird thing.
You're like, what the heck? It's so random.
But I'm just going to share another fun Ballarat story because I have so many. But there is a big bikey presence in Ballarat. And in fact, when I was in primary school, we lived next door to a bikey boss.
Ooh,
and
really?
The police were there all the time, like
all
the time, right? And they had like a boy that was the same age as me, and I used to play with him all the time, but he was rough as guts. Like, it was a rough family. But yeah, like, and the police were there all the time, but he was never arrested, you know, like they would just visit there and then that was
mullets?
That
I feel like they have mullets and wear like ripped singlets,
rough like that's how I describe rough. Anyway, another fun fact. And then I also read in an article that, and I thought this was really odd, an article that said Tracy had no enemies except one.
Oh my, I saw this as well. And I actually wrote news.com.au because I'm pretty sure that's where I saw it. What a weird thing to write.
And like, what a there's weird no thing. Information as to who this enemy is. So why state it if you're not going to talk about it?
Yeah. And exactly what enemy, like enemy is a big word.
So this whole disappearance of Tracy happens on Sunday the 22nd of November 1998. She went out that night with her friend and she decided to go out. It was very spur of the moment. It was just her and a girlfriend, and they went out that night to a nightclub called Cheers Nightclub. And at about 3:15 a.m. or I think it was like 3:08 or something, there was CCTV footage of her leaving that club, and she didn't have any money or a purse or anything. And that was just like, that was not abnormal. That was just the way she went out that night. And she didn't leave with her friend. Her friend thought that maybe she just couldn't find her. And obviously the club closes not long after 3 o'clock. So her friend just thought that she just couldn't find her and just decided to leave. In this CCTV footage, she doesn't look distressed. She doesn't look panicked. She walks to a nearby taxi rank. She's seen talking to a man she knew. No further information about this that I could find. And then she got into a taxi alone.
Lucky this, and it was really hard to research this case. There is not much out there. I don't understand how, like, some cases have so much information, and this was like a few articles. Like, there's not one podcast I could find on her case. It's so sad.
It is sad.
Because think about when it. Sorry, they're saying, right? Like, the article, for instance, she has no enemies except one. Imagine, like, I feel like a podcast needs to take on this case and they could solve it.
Yeah, exactly. So when Tracy didn't arrive home, Shane, her boyfriend, assumes she had stayed at that friend's house that she went out with that night. But 17 hours after she was last seen, Shane reported her as missing to the police because obviously that morning she never came home, blah, blah. So the day after she was last seen at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, Tracy's naked body was discovered on Clarks Hill Road in Petula, which is about 15 minutes northwest of Ballarat. Her clothes had been strewn over like a 500-meter stretch of road. And then
like
her body
all her
was
clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I saw it was like
thrown out of a car almost.
Undies. It was her boots, everything.
Mm-hmm. And then her body was dumped on the side of the road.
There's literally little effort to hide her.
Exactly.
At all.
There was no obvious signs of sexual assault, and there was obviously no attempt to conceal her body. Like, she literally was just dumped, and it seems like her clothes were thrown out of a moving car. The autopsy revealed that Tracy was strangled, and the police believed she was killed in her own home, and then her body was dumped out in this area. But this doesn't make sense to me because wasn't the boyfriend home?
Well, is this our clue? Is this the clue we needed? If they've said that she was strangled in her own home, doesn't that mean that it's her boyfriend?
Yeah. And, like, I can't find anything about this boyfriend. Well, you know, like.
Yeah, it's so. Well, obviously, police are putting out, like, just a few clues because they know, but they just don't have enough evidence. That's my understanding, anyway.
Police do believe that the person responsible was local to Ballarat and is probably likely still living in Ballarat. There were 54 taxi drivers working in the Ballarat area on this night that Tracy disappeared. Police reportedly interviewed every single one. And from the impression I got while I was reading these articles was that they couldn't actually find the taxi driver that took her home. Did you get that impression, or was that just me?
Like, I just saw that they interviewed all these taxi drivers, but this is what I mean. That most articles give you the exact same information with nothing more, just written different ways. You know what I mean? The fact that they said they interviewed him and then they never mentioned anything about the taxi driver they interviewed, I find. Did they find him? Do you know what I mean? Did they find him? Didn't they find him? Did he have information? Obviously not, because why isn't it mentioned in these articles?
Yeah. So as of March 2022, there is still a $1 million reward for information leading to the apprehension and subsequent conviction of the person or persons responsible for the death of Tracy Howard. Cold case investigators believe they know why she was killed and have stated the case is highly solvable. So I think it is obvious that they know who it is.
Yes,
they know everything about it. They just don't have enough evidence to convict someone.
I'm sorry, but it's been that long. Give us more information. Get someone to come, like, put the pressure on. And, like, I get that they've released it's a $1 million reward for information. Yeah. But it's surprising that no one's come forward. Maybe no one knows.
It's very interesting.
This one guy, you know. It's really, really disappointing. The fact that they say that it's highly solvable, but they don't have, they've got lack of evidence.
Exactly. So Tracy was actually one of three women murdered in the Ballarat area in the space of 8 years, whose killings remain unsolved. And one of these is actually one of the cases we covered in episode 81, Nina Nicholson. Remember the nurse that was bashed to death in her home? Yes. And then there was another lady, Belinda Williams, who was killed in Buninyong in 1999.
I think Belinda Williams has actually been requested as well, Lockie. I'm pretty sure I've seen her name.
Yeah, so we'll have to add it to the list, that literally is all of the information we have on the case. I don't have any particularly strong feelings as to what I think's happened. Maybe that's because I know that the police know. I don't know if that's, the right way to put it, but, it's very weird.
I just find it weird that there's not that much information. If police have a suspect, put the freaking pressure on, release more info, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird that they're being so. It's not going to. Yeah, what does it matter?
Exactly. Like, if you put out more info, that could potentially lead to an arrest than just being it's almost going to hit 20 years and we've, do you know what I mean? Nothing.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bugger. No,
it's actually more than 20 years.
Yeah.
30 years.
Yeah, well,
far out. Yeah, so what is the harm in putting out more information about this case?
Mm. And even like no articles about her family's response or her family's talking to anyone or it's weird.
Yeah. And do you know what? Like, I think this is though, this is why sometimes like, you know, you can be like, oh, these family, you know, as in, I feel like I've read articles and they're like, you know, like certain families are just going to, I can't remember what article, actually, I can't even remember what case it was, but they were sort of bagging like the parents or something for like, you know, going to the media so early on. But I think it's critical. You do need to go to the media because that's who's going to keep your name, like, or their, you know, your loved one's name out there. That's who's going to keep the ball rolling. You know what I mean? Like this sort of case, I didn't even know about that this even existed.
Yeah,
and there's
exactly.
Nothing on it. Like it's just, yeah, nothing. It's crazy.
Yeah, so that's the case of Tracy Howard.
Wow.
So if you have a case you want us to cover, you can send us a message on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is at Caffeine Crime and Canines, or you can head to our website and leave a request in the request box. If you want to support the podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review, head to our website to purchase some merchandise, or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/caffeinecrimeandcanines.
And until next week.
Until next week.
Bye.